How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to Hashtags for the Sin, Season 3. I'm your host, Dylan Thompson, and with me in today's episode is Allie Hall, current U.S. Beach Soccer National Team player. Allie and I talk about NorCal Beach Soccer Club, her time with New Team BSC in the most recent Euro Winners Cup, and her debut with the U.S. Women's Beach Soccer National Team at the Intercontinental Cup in Moscow. If you have a second, please like, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening on, because it helps grow the show and the beautiful game along with it. Without further ado, Hashtags for the Sin, Season 3, Episode 6, with Allie Hall. When did you start playing beach? It's when you got to California, right?
Yeah, when I got to California, which is like 2014. Maybe a year after that, 2015, I started dabbling in it a little bit just for fun, like little tournaments in Santa Cruz and whatnot. But not till I think a couple years ago did it become a little bit more serious for all of us with the playing and actually pursuing it and working at it.
All of us being NorCal, you mean? Or?
Well, a couple of the girls have been been more serious in it for a while, like Janae and Luisa. They went and played in Portugal. And I think when they came back, I think that was 2 or 3 years ago, and they came back and were like, oh, whoa, beach is an actual thing. And they just came with this huge fire and excitement for the game. And we all kind of just hitched on to that. And once we realized that it's a real sport and something that we can work towards to play at a higher level, that's when everyone started taking it more seriously and wanting to really get better and getting out on their own, and just the passions started being created within everyone.
What was your first major tournament with NorCal? So like you mentioned, obviously like the Santa Cruz tournaments and stuff like that, but in terms of what I deem comparable to like a high level tournament with high level competition, like which was that Turkey for you?
Yeah, Turkey was the first tournament.
Were you pretty like eye opened when you got there and you were playing other teams like that? Or how did you all fare against them, I guess, those teams out there?
We played well, actually. I mean, we have a pretty athletic squad and players who have played at high levels on grass, and that translated enough into the sand, but we were definitely exposed and the teams were way more experienced than we were, but we held up with them. And I think the fact that we did have that put a fire under everyone's butt even more going forward. But going there and seeing the teams and seeing the high level players and some of the top players in the world was a huge motivation getting back home, because it became way more real then. Then it was like, all right, I want to be playing with them and competing with them at their level.
I like how you said, like, had played at a high level that kind of helped them. I don't know exactly. You said help them enough, like to hold their own enough. Mm-hmm. Cause I feel like for people who play grass at a high level, and I say grass or like 11 a side or whatever, yeah. They know the game of soccer, but beach soccer and that game that they know are very different. So yeah. I think that resonates with me from people that I've seen play or newly introduced to the game, because yeah, like, you know, soccer, but you definitely have not experienced beach soccer, and that's apparent.
Oh, totally. And that was definitely something for me. You know, I had success in 11v11 grass fields, and I was good enough to play on the sand to have little successes, but going there and seeing those players, I was like, okay, I'm not even close to where I need to be yet to be playing at the highest level for the beach game. And that's when I was like, all right, it's time to start working, because we saw that and I want to get there now. And I think, I mean, all of us felt the same way.
So that's awesome to hear that we have a team in the States, and there's going to be more of that, you know, as the women's game continues to grow, that has competed, you know, outside of the country. Cause I feel like the highest level of competition is out of our country. You know, that's kind of just where the game's at right now. Mm-hmm. We definitely do have our own set of high level tournaments, but you know, the real intense competition, the competition that's going to set us out, at least as a nation, is out of our country. And, but you know, what this year provided for us was the opportunity to support you and a group of women who are playing in the Euro Winners Cup. With COVID and everything, like, we didn't see a lot of beach soccer. And this time frame was like a big time frame for beach soccer competitions and like the rebuild of seeing beach soccer. So you had the opportunity to go play for beach soccer new team, which had two women's teams, I believe. And you were a part of their B team, essentially, right? Because they had two teams, two different skill levels, not skill levels, but essentially staggered the teams.
Yeah.
How stoked were you for that? And how did you even build that connection?
So that connection was built in Turkey. Our team just got super close with this Belgium men's team there, where we would go to each other's games, support each other and whatnot. And some of our managers had a connection with their coaches, and they let us use their trainers and whatnot. And then it just, this connection built. And when they came and saw us play, they saw us play, and they were building a women's side already on their own. They just hadn't had a women's team yet. And so when Euros came up, we just have always stayed in connection, communication, whatnot. And it was like later on in the game where I was talking to one of the players or something, and we connected about it. And I was like, well, do they have room on their team now? You know, because we're all still new to this. So we kind of are reaching out to teams to try to see if they need players on their teams too, since we haven't been really exposed a ton yet from the US, because we've only been to a few tournaments, you know? So I ended up reaching out to the coach, and he's like, well, our first team's full, but we would love to have you. And so he invited me to be on the other team that he had. And I was like, I don't care what level it is. Like, if I'm going over there and I get to compete, I'm so down. I get to experience, I get to learn different styles of play. It doesn't matter who I'm playing with. And it ended up being such an awesome experience, regardless of that, of having less experienced players. But yeah, that's such a great connection with NorCal. I think we'll always have that relationship with the Belgium team. And that's the beauty of beach soccer and sports in general, is you do build those connections, and then they're everlasting, and you continue to build on that.
Everyone I've talked to, it said to get U.S. soccer to the next level, it's like playing opportunities. Like, you need playing opportunities, and the players that are at that level need to continue to play. So the fact that we had six women from the States went to go play in the Euro Winners Cup.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, like, the fact that you got to go play and compete against some of the best players, if not pretty much all of the best women's players were playing in that tournament. Right. So, and that was like everyone essentially getting ready down the road in which there would be an Intercontinental Women's Beach Soccer Cup. But you get to go and play firsthand against those players who you've already seen in the past. You follow them on social media, like, you've seen them play live, like, you know those players. So how was that excitement for you to be able to go play against the best players in the world?
Super exciting, because, I mean, for a couple of reasons. One, as a player, having worked for a year now or so, specifically on my game, seeing how I can compete against those players and whatnot now, was an exciting piece of it. And then two, playing against the highest competition is just fun. You know, that is where players thrive and also get better. You can watch these players. When you play against them, you can learn a whole nother element of the game. So it was just exciting in general that I got to go to a tournament and just have that game experience, playing experience against those players, get to compete against them, get to also continue relationships with them as well. Cause they build every single time you see them, regardless of language barriers and whatnot. But yeah, overall, it's just a great experience, and really, really good to play in games. In the US, we have players building and getting better and all of that, but we don't have the highest of competition sometimes at the tournaments that we're in. So to go there and have to be pushed to different levels within this game was really big time.
How many times did you just yell someone's name because they didn't speak the same language as you, but you wanted them to pass you the ball?
Oh, every single time.
Every single time?
Yes. It was a hand motion and their name. That was it. Like,
hey, you.
All right. We're like, yeah, yeah. They know that. Or no, no. Yeah, it was all names and lots of body language. You know, I got to learn how to communicate in a lot of different ways. And it, you know, it worked a lot of the time. Sometimes it didn't, or sometimes I just yell something like, ah, I know what to do.
But the coach spoke English, right? So he was able to help out a little bit, no?
Yeah, he could speak a little English. So on the field, he didn't really help out. He'd just be like, Allie, Allie. And I just look in his hand. It just became hand motions all around. It just like having to look and see a lot, which honestly was something that like a big benefit that I took out of that, you know, playing with a team that doesn't speak the same language. You have to figure out ways to communicate. And I grew a lot within my communication because of that, because I can't use words. So how else do you, you know, use your body and your sounds and your face expressions to show what you want, need, or what was good, what was bad. So I took a lot from that.
I can't help but be impressed by the fact that all the women that we had go there obviously all spoke English. I think Luisa obviously is bilingual or multilingual, or whether she can speak multiple languages. But you all went there, and on top of playing with a new team, also with the challenge of the language barrier, also with the challenge of the new 4-second rule, which I wanted to ask you, like, how did your team fare with that new rule? Like, were they accustomed to the old one enough, or was it, how did that look both for your team and the teams you played against?
I think that everyone went through the same beginning struggle or feeling of pressure when it came down to the 4-second rule at all the levels of teams that were there. It took a while for us to get acclimated to how fast it was or how slow it was, you know? So I think the mentality going into it was very much like, we only have 4 seconds, you know? And then it slowly started becoming, okay, I have 4 seconds. You need to have that type of mentality more so that there's not panic, because right away there's a panic from the goalkeepers a little bit and from players with how quick we have to like get the ball or whatever the case may be. But, we just had to acclimate to that, and it just caused a little bit more counterattack. So having to get back on defense quicker because there's mistakes that are happening in the back. But once the tournament went on more, the players started realizing, okay, getting in different spaces quicker, the keeper starting to trust your players and whatnot, learning, you know, the timing of being able to get the ball, give it back to her when she has time so that she has a restart on those 4 seconds. So I think it was just a great tournament to take off for every team to learn what that pressure felt like with the new rule all across the board. But you definitely saw it get more comfortable as the tournament went on.
Did you find yourself in the back a lot to help control the game? So for those of you who are listening, the new rule is goalkeepers traditionally in the past have had 4 seconds in their own box to hold on to the ball. As soon as they leave their box, the clock, that 4-second count is stopped. However, the new rule is that in their own half, anywhere in their own half, they only have 4 seconds. So that means even if they leave their box, that count is still rolling. So for you, Allie, did you see yourself, you know, positioned in the back a little bit more to help control that game? Because you do have solid control and, you know, you do enjoy like facilitating plays and moving the ball.
Yeah, I definitely did. I think I do have a major defensive mentality in these games, and especially in the Euro Cup, because I was playing with players who were a little less experienced. So I did find myself in the back more to, you know, find that control and slow down the game a little bit more to be able to distribute and communicate the best way I could. But
I'm just trying to picture you point at like a spot on the field and go. Like you just like, yeah, trying to tell people.
Go there. No. 100%. Yes. But yeah, I'm very much have the mentality of if you don't get scored on, you can't lose. And so my first is like, let me protect. And then those times will come to go forward. I love going forward. Like I love the attacking side of the game, but I do, because I played a more defensive position growing up. I think I'm very disciplined in the fact of, okay, I need to make sure that this is safe first before that. So I was able to acclimate to that 4-second rule pretty well and learn what that timing looked like, which was super beneficial.
So you scored, you're talking about offense, you scored multiple goals during that competition. Which one was your favorite?
My favorite one was in the stadium.
Okay, you're saying it like everyone should know what the goal was. I'm asking you.
I was still going. My favorite one was in the stadium when I hit a ball from behind the half. One, because the environment was just incredible. And two, just being able to hit a ball off the sand like that and from far with accuracy, like where I wanted it, was such a great feeling. Because honestly, earlier this year, I remember being at MBSL and I could not for the life of me get a shot off in the sand. Like it would get into little holes and everything. And I remember Francis coming up to me and being like, Allie, you gotta get a shot off the ground quicker. And I'm like, I know. And I could not do it. So I got home and I worked really hard on getting a shot off as quick as I could before I went into a divot. So I didn't just kick a hole. So
getting that shot off. Francis impression, solid Francis impression for sure.
So getting that shot off, it felt really good. And then also it being, I think it was an equalizer or to go up one, that added to it, of course.
So for those of you listening, Allie did a terrible job of describing where the ball was at. She said a little bit behind half. It was like a little bit in front of her goalie box. So it was much farther back than that. And it's also on my Instagram if you want to go check it out. But it was definitely an amazing shot. I can't even imagine. Like the fact that, for one, leading into that, like almost every team had got to play in the stadium. And I think this was like your first opportunity to play in the stadium. And in that, be, you know, in a – don't want to call it a field, but like a court with held within the stadium, getting to score a goal like that. And then also have a really competitive game against a really good team too. So like all of that added up, I'm sure added to the atmosphere of that, the energy of that. So that is really sweet to hear. But after that tournament, knowing that U.S. soccer is starting to continue to support both the men's and women's side. And at that point, I believe that it was announced that they were looking to have like a camp for, it was like an unofficial camp, but then the competition was the official competition for the women's team to also head to Russia with the men and play in the women's Intercontinental Cup. I can't help but want to know, like, how motivated were you after that competition just to like get back to work and work towards that? Because at that point, you hadn't yet played for the national team.
After that tournament, I was super stoked. Oh, I was on fire. And then we found out that they were going to do a Florida MBSL again, plus the camp after. And I had gotten back from Portugal on a Monday or Tuesday of that week and had to leave for Florida on Thursday to go to Florida for that whole thing right after Portugal. And honestly, like, I was like, let's go. I just felt like this is what I'm supposed to do. I don't want to call it a job because it's not, but I was just like, I would just say it like that just because I'm like, okay, yeah, I have to be here. Like, there's no choice. This is what I want to do. And I want to show up for all these things and get better and to be coached by coaches and, also to play with the girls in the US and build, hopefully be able to make the team and make the roster to go to Russia. I was excited and ready and felt like I was game ready, and I experienced and learned and gained a lot of confidence in Portugal as well, because being in games and playing games, you gain that confidence of game experience. the experience is huge because a lot of us have just played for 1 or 2 years, 3 years, whatever. And we've played and we'll train on our own, but going and playing a game is a whole nother experience. So obviously playing those games and then going into that tournament, I was feeling really excited and confident within being able to bring that game to the US and show my experience.
How did it feel to be coached? So like you'd mentioned, you got the opportunity to be coached. That's something that on, you know, a flat surface, 11 aside, whatever you play in club growing up, you have ample opportunities to be coached by someone who has been in the game for a while, this, that, and the other thing. How does it feel to be coached though? So for Beach specifically, right? Because there's so many opportunities growing up playing club, college, professional, like 11 aside has all those coaching opportunities to be coached for players. But for Beach, it's really few and far between. So how did it feel to be coached on the sand?
It has been great to be coached on the sand finally. Obviously with NorCal, when we went to Turkey, we had a player become a coach and Luisa was awesome. She stepped up. It was great. Obviously it's a little different of experience from player to coach and having just, you know, a coach specifically for you, your team. And that's what they are doing. And to finally have someone be like, no, you're doing this wrong. Allie, you need to do this. Like, no, Allie, it's not good. Or go there.
Francis impression. Go ahead.
And this is how we rotate. And it's been like, thank goodness. I've been waiting for it. Like, I want someone to tell me what to do and what's wrong and how to move within the game. Cause I honestly have no shame in saying, like, I really don't know that well, or I didn't know before that well, what those rotations looked like and how to move with the team well. And so we had a camp in Santa Monica and there we learned a lot of movements.
San Diego.
Yeah. We learned a lot of movements and I was like, oh shoot. Like, I'm learning right now. And it felt so good. I was like, fine, getting flourished in the game. Like, give me all this knowledge, please. So yeah, it's been great. And I can't get enough. All of us need someone outside of our own players telling us, oh, we can do this better and this better, to just like someone we have respect for. That's just telling us like, hey, need to get on this and teaching us, because this is a new game. It's not 11v11. Like I said before at the beginning of the podcast, like, you can be good enough on 11v11 and play well in Beach, but Beach is an entire different game that you need to learn and master. We need to learn and master that these teams overseas have been mastering for the last 15 years of their life. So having these coaches step up and teach us the game is big time.
So you have the Euro Winners Cup. You get to get back to the States, play in Florida. All while this is going on, though, you do have something in the back of your mind that could potentially prevent you from playing for the national team. So you have previously played for the Honduras national team, 11-a-side team, right? Mm. And so that was like a little bit impacting if you could play for the national team. So when all that was going on, you did get the good news and the green light that you were going to be eligible to play for the U.S. on the Beach side. Explain a little bit how those feelings were for you, because it had to have been obviously the most relieving feeling.
When I first, to be honest, when the national team came out, when they first started building a team and going to tournaments, I didn't even think about the fact that I played with Honduras, because it was so long ago and it was like such a short amount of time, like two games, like it was so small. And then it got brought up that, oh, you can't play with the US if you played here. And it was really devastating for me. So because Beach gave me like another sail, like another wind in my sail, like within my career. And to not be able to work to play at the highest level for the country that I have grown in and would love to represent, was it deflated me a lot, but was able to kind of, you know, work for it and figure out how to make it work. And when I found out that I was actually able to be eligible to play, it was like the best feeling ever. I just felt like life came back in me. I'm like, I'm a kid again. Woo! Like, I have my next endeavor in this life. Beach, baby. I was like ready to go. So it was an amazing feeling. I can't really describe it. It was just great.
You find out that you can play for the national team for the U.S. And then Women's Intercontinental Cup is right around the corner and you get selected. You get selected to go. You're repping number 10 on the national team. And we have Morgan, Coach Morgan, and Coach Ryan Futagaki, who has previously played for the national team for the men's side. Going into that, obviously more opportunities to be coached with a new-ish group of girls, new-ish group of women, who some have played previously on the national team. Yes, it would be technically your debut, but you've also played, you know, at levels overseas and in Europe as well. And then, you know, there's a mixed bag of players. Again, a new group of women come together to play against arguably three of the top teams in the world. They are three of the top teams in the world. Yeah. And we all get to hop in there and be that fourth team to play against those three. Yeah. What was the most exciting thing, but was also the thing that you knew was going to challenge you all?
The most exciting thing was that we got to go represent in a huge tournament and show the work that's been getting done over here in the U.S. That was exciting. Also exciting to go in with two coaches who are completely committed to the women's side. Francis has been all committed to all the sides, of course, but to have two coaches step up that have a passion for us and the sport was really exciting as well. And then what was the other question?
What was the thing that you knew was going to be probably the biggest challenge? I mean, aside from the fact that they are the three best teams.
Needless to say, biggest challenge is that we haven't gotten to play together a lot. And these teams have gotten to play together a ton. They have leagues over there that they're playing in all the time. They've played together for years. And our team, we've been going to tournaments like dispersed for an entire year during COVID. We've gone to two camps. That weren't,
you put air quotes over camps, by the
yeah,
way.
Well, they're not, it wasn't like a, I don't know if we can consider it a camp necessarily, because it wasn't,
it definitely wasn't an official U.S. soccer camp.
Yeah,
yes,
but there are opportunities for us to get together, but we can't just, all people have jobs, you can't just go, and it costs money to do all those things, and people are coaching and whatnot, so we never had all the girls together to play and to get to know one another. And that's big time, to know your players, what their quirks are, what they tend to do more, how to communicate with them, how to rotate with them, you know, what side of the ball do they like to be on more. Like, there's so much to playing with your players. And so going into the tournament like that was probably just our biggest thing that we had to overcome as a team. And so that tournament was the first time we all played together. And now we can build off of that, you know.
I definitely hear what you're saying. And I feel like everybody I talked to, like I said earlier, like the playing opportunities is huge. Not only the playing opportunities, but like having the team together and knowing and being able to play with your teammates. Because you think of, I'm trying to compare, I guess 11 aside, I'm going to have to continue to make that comparison. But like, those teams are constantly playing together. Mm-hmm. Like, professionals in the sport are getting, that's like their focus, their primary focus. They don't have to have, I say distractions, but it's really like the necessities that everyone needs, like their job that pays for their lifestyle, what they want to do, you know, their entire responsibility essentially. And so beach is awesome. And we're, you know, we're moving towards this great progression in the States, but it's definitely not at where it's at for high level 11 aside or any of that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's, you know, it's a, again, the opportunity for this team to go and essentially go in as a new squad, and you all know each other from playing and competing with and against each other in these dispersed tournaments, but like never entering together as one. So you go into it, and I made this joke earlier, but you all start off against Russia, similar to the men. So both Russia is playing the U.S. on both men's and women's. But you go into that, and Russia, like you mentioned, is a powerhouse, like on when it comes to beach soccer, period. They have their own leagues. They have players playing constantly year round. Going into that, the game ended up being 2-1. So the game was not far off from what some may have considered going into that. So talk me through kind of that first initial period, like that very first period that y'all played. Like how, what were your y'all's feelings around that?
I can tell you my feelings.
Tell me your feelings.
Freaking felt like I was running everywhere and just trying to defend my ass off. That's what it felt like. And I feel like we all felt like we were on the same page there, whereas one of those things where like, it's the first time we're actually playing a game together, all of us. We're playing the best team in the world right now, or one of the two. And let's just hold it down, right? And get this first period, get it, you know, our nerves out, get into the flow of things. And then once the second period came, we felt a little bit more flowy, like, okay, got that out, got our first period in, figured out our subbings, you know, that was different too. You know, we haven't played a lot of games. So, our subbing was a little off and when to come out and when the timing was, and that was just a learning experience for all of us for that first game for sure. So yeah, that first period I think was just very much like high driven, you know, energy and just like, okay, like, let's make sure we don't get scored on right now, to be honest. Obviously, like, we want to go score goals too, but knowing that you're going into a competition like that and have to acclimate with the players that we're around, we're like, okay, we need to get our shape first in this way so that we can be set, and then we'll find our pockets and holes that we can score.
So a lot of teams have their style of play and, like, things that they're likely known for. What do you feel like the U.S. is right now?
We're a very driven team. Like, we're high energy, all of our players. Like, we are very relentless in our play. When we were talking all together before the games went out, we used the term, we're like a blue collar team. Like, we work really hard wherever we go. Like, we're running hard, we're going into tackles hard. You know, you're not going to see a player just taking a nap on the field, maybe. But no, this, I think we are known for, like, when I walked into the games, and I would tell some of the girls this, I'm like, I feel like they're nervous to play us, because I wouldn't want to play us. You know that you're in for a game no matter what, regardless if we have experience or not. Like, you're going to get a game right now. No one's going to just stop running or stop running at you or not go and defend you. You're going to have to work hard to beat us. And that's, and I love that. I think that's an amazing, like, a feeling and, you know, stature to have as a team, is that this isn't going to be easy for you guys. You know, you're going to come out with some bruises, maybe unintentional, of course, but you're definitely going to be tired.
Intentional. I love that. So it's talking about styles of play. So after that first game, you know, we talked about it, definitely a winnable game. But a lot of, I'm sure, learning opportunities coming out of that, being the first game that you all come together as a team to play. Head into the Brazil game, and I'm sure this one is the most frustrating game that you all came out of, just the way it played out. So for those of you who hadn't had the opportunity to watch the game or see the results, our women's team went up 3-0, I believe. And she's like stone cold right now, just like thinking about it, I'm sure. But the only reason I bring this up is because that's huge. Like, the result ended up being Brazil coming back, and we can talk about that in a second, but like going 3-0 against arguably one of the top two. I think those that Brazil went on to win that competition, I believe. So going up 3-0, y'all were playing phenomenally. I think it was really clicking, whatever y'all had ended up doing, either debriefing about film, talking about as a squad, like all of that, I'm sure it looked like you all came out more confident and more well put together. So how did that all feel with the 3-0 lead? And then we can kind of get into the part after that.
How did it feel at the beginning of the game?
At the beginning of the game. Complete 180.
Complete. It was awesome. Like we, after that first game, I mean, we did well at the end of the day with coming out with that result. Russia beat us in overtime. Okay. Again, they had to work for that win. But that was a playing opportunity for us to all start to gain trust for each other. Because again, that was our first time that we've ever all played together in a high level competition as these individual players. So going into the Brazil game, and after we debriefed with the coaches and we kind of had the same mentality, but more calming, more confident because we had our first one down. It clicked in all aspects. Our subbing was better. Our trust with playing our keeper back and our keeper playing us, how quickly we play, making runs out of the back, taking our time and slowing the game down. I think it was a lot with confidence in players. You know, all the jitters got out in that first game. And then the second game, players just like, okay, we're good. Been here, got this. Let's slow it down. Let's play. Brazil let us play a little bit more because they weren't as pressury as well. So that definitely helped our game a bit. But at the same time, they had their things that we had to acclimate to as well. But regardless of their pressure, we just all around trusted each other more and rotated better. And it definitely showed, and we felt it so much on the field or on the pitch or on the court or on the sand pit.
So US goes up 3-0. Brazil does end up coming back and winning 5-3. And my speculation about that is just, again, coming from a team that has less opportunities to play together. I think game management is huge. And I think that a team that continues to get to play together gets the opportunity to kind of develop that game management that, you know, potentially just comes with more games under your belt, in my opinion. So I think that's something that's going to come with the team continue to play together. Coaches being able to coach their players and talk through those things. But obviously feeling super confident after that game, at least as a fan, I definitely was watching the team. And again, Brazil went on to win the event. So, you know, again, the best competition to have and to continue to play against.
Yeah. Well, I think we left thinking we will never let that happen again.
It had to be the most bitter taste in your mouth.
Like, absolutely. But now we look back and it's like, we will never let that happen again, ever. Like our game management will be better. The way that we play, like our mental will be in a better place. Like those games have to happen in order for your team to build and become better. Not to be like super cliche with it, like where you got to lose some to win some. Sure, but it's true. Like you have to go through game experiences like that so you learn where your mental needs to go and the decisions you need to make as an individual and as a team in a disciplinary respect to not let that happen in a game. Because beach, anything can happen, you know?
Also good to note that this is the women's national team's third competition. Overall, I believe, because I think the first one was the qualifier for the ANOC World Beach Games. The ANOC World Beach Games themselves was the second competition. Yeah. And again, that team looked a lot different in terms of the players, you know, the coaching. Francis was a coach then, so he still has a hand in it. But like that, you know, that transition, I actually looked back at it recently of those games in like El Salvador and at the ANOC World Beach Games and like the games now and like the highlights now, like it's pretty crazy how night and day that looks, like the way that the women and just like every player in the States now has just been working. Like you said, like our game has improved like an insane amount.
People have been putting a lot of work in. It's inspiring as hell. And it's like this, it's this wave of energy that we all are just spreading to one another. And you, I don't know, it's incredible to watch and see. And I'm really excited for the future of it.
So heading into that last game against Spain, again, I think it's awesome to see three different teams all at a high level that have different styles of play. That game was kind of like the, what was the mentality, I guess, for the team going into that game? Because essentially it's the last game of the competition. Y'all can't help but want, you know, to get a freaking win at that point. Mm-hmm. What is that?
The mentality was we want at least one win coming out of this, but now we're actually playing the number one team in the world. Cause Spain is number one. I believe under almost 97%, but yeah, going into that game, we wanted to have a win, bring everything round circle into what we've learned throughout the weekend or week. We knew it was going to be a hard game, and Spain honestly brings a whole nother flavor to the game. It's almost like having Russia and Brazil combined in them in ways. Everyone has their individual characteristics and whatnot, but Spain was fast. You can tell that they played together for a long time and organized and disciplined.
Do you believe that they were the most well-rounded team, like all around?
I do, yeah, for sure. Because they, like, they had the speed that we have on the U.S. They run. You know, some teams, they're a little bit more stagnant and want to play more. I'd say Brazil is a little bit more like that. And then the U.S., we run a lot. We have very fast players that use their speed. And Spain, they had, like, fast players, players who would slow the game down, organization. Like, they had all of those things. And it was great to play against. They were a great team, and they created, they worked for their goals, and they were deserved. And yeah, definitely learned a lot from that game. And also playing them, I was like, okay, now this is where we need to get to, guys. You know, I mean, all of the teams, every single game, there's like certain things that you take out of each one of what you want within your team. And we're going to have our own thing, but you obviously can still take and see those things and kind of take it and then bring your own flavor into yours.
So now that you finally got your own taste of the national team, what does that motivation look like for you as an individual? Because as we talked about earlier, like, not having as many playing opportunities, like, you have to be motivated as an individual. And thankfully, like, here in Northern California, like, there's a good community of players that you can train with. But at the end of the day, like, if you're not doing something by yourself, like, you're lagging. Like, that's just the fact.
Yes. Well, it's a true thing. Like, you know, when they have those quotes of like, someone's doing the work if you're not, or whatever it is, like, in beach right now, that is the feeling that you have, because this is like a open platform of like, okay, who's going to work and get there? Like, there's nothing that's concrete within teams. It never is when it comes to national teams and whatnot. And so, because it's the beginning of this sport, especially for the women's side, you know that every single girl who wants to be on that team or is on or has been on the team or whatever it is working. They're working. And when you're not, someone else is, like, for sure. You see it on Instagram.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
Someone is working. So, like, my motivation, I'm so on fire for the game.
On Instagram. That's so funny.
I know that we're going to have some events coming up in 2022 and opportunities to play on the national team. And from the last tournament, I know the things that I'm working on as an individual that I have control over. And so for me, I'm very motivated to get better at those specific things on my own, because that's all I can do right now, really. And I'm just super on fire for it, just like everybody else. And it's, and like you just said, like, the community, it's from coast to coast, you're seeing it, and it's, everyone's pushing each other just by doing their own work. It's a beautiful thing. It's just like this snowball effect. And so it's even so, I see someone doing that and like, I want to do more. I'm doing it and I want to show something so that someone else wants to do more, because at the end of the day, we all are working for the same thing. And I want everyone to become the best player they can be so that we can have the best team in the world, whether I'm on it or not, because it's an amazing sport and this sport is growing. And if we want to be the best, we need to be the best players that we can possibly be and push it to get there. So my motivation is like, phew. But there are some tournaments coming up that NorCal gets to play in. So pretty excited about that as well.
It's a solid transition, because I did want to talk about NorCal and what y'all have going on. Recently, you all had a clinic in which many, I think it was upwards of like 30 plus kids had the opportunity.
46 kids ended up showing up, yes.
46 kids ended up coming, and you all had the team out there and running them through drills and having fun with them. And I want you to talk about that, because I feel like, although, yes, that was like a great opportunity for NorCal to fundraise for y'all's endeavors and like reach out, but like the main thing is like that community piece. Like, you are literally showing, you know, these young kids what they can eventually get to playing with, you know, you all as great leaders and stuff like that. So talk about this camp and what that meant for you all.
Yeah. So us as a team, obviously there's a bunch of teams being made, club teams around the US for beach at a pro level or a higher level and whatnot. And NorCal has been around for a while. And so we're getting to a point where we're like, okay, we need to fundraise so that we're not having to fund all of these big tournaments going overseas and whatnot, because we feel like, you know, you're a professional team. We want to find those sponsorships who want to support us and whatnot. One of the biggest aspects of that fundraising and in general growing the game is spreading it to the smaller adults, the little baby kids. And a lot of us are coaches, and our kids know that we play beach soccer, but they don't know the game really. And so we hosted a clinic to raise money for the tournament in Turkey that got postponed now. But either way, we did a clinic. There was only 30 kids that were supposed to show up. 46 kids ended up showing up, and it was incredible. It was, if that doesn't light a fire under our ass more than anything else, I don't know what does, because seeing the youth and the love for it at such a young age, and now them knowing that there is another level that you can get to in this sport if you wanted to, is super awesome. The innocence in it and just the pure joy and love of being where they are and playing with a soccer ball in an environment where they're just bare and barefoot and they feel like they're so much more free, but like having fun in their sport is awesome. And then, you know, just that this community keeps on building. You know, I've done clinics before with my kids with coaching, and then every time I have another one, there's more and more. Are we having beach soccer clinic this weekend, Coach Allie? Da, 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 da. And I'm like, I can't, but I want to, you know. They love it, and they're watching our games now, and it starts with the youth seeing this and seeing role models within the sport and knowing that, yes, you can play 11-a-side and whatnot. That's awesome, but you can also play the beach game, and not only can you play the beach game, it can help you with your grass game as well, right? So yeah, I mean, on outside of that side of things, NorCal is trying to build a beach community in the Bay Area and trying to spread the word so that we can get a following from the youth and a love for that sport so we can have more support in the future.
That is amazing to hear. It was awesome to see all of those kids having a great time with you all over Instagram. You hit the nail on the head. Like, it's awesome for club teams to be able to do that. It's amazing that these big tournaments that we host in the States are introducing kids to that. Cause like, that's how I got introduced to the sport, and I got hooked right away. Like, going to the Virginia tournament every year, playing with my club team. And then as soon as I was done with my game, I ran to the pro stadium because I was like, I need to go watch them play. And yeah, your eyes light up. You're stoked to see people play at that high level, and then you go back to your field and try to bike, and then you probably hurt yourself. But like, that's how it goes. Like,
I wish that we had a tournament up here or something so they could come see it in a stadium, because that would be so epic for them to actually see it in that type of way. It really would. I can't wait till we can have something like that up north.
So, Allie, before we take off here, the last thing I wanted to talk to you about was the fact that a recent list came out, and I know that you're not going to want to talk about this specifically, but you, Lauren Leslie, and Sam Whitteman, all three got listed for the top 30 women's players shortlist for the best player. I'm going to ask you how you felt about that, and you can go ahead and describe that feeling now.
It was really cool to see. It was really cool to see. I think after, you know, putting work in for the last couple of years and being noticed in that way is an honor. And I felt very honored to be on that list, and it motivated me even more to want to become a better player. It was cool.
If you know Allie, that was like the hardest thing for her to say, like to talk about herself. So like, that was actually pretty decent explanation. So congratulations for that. Congratulations to Lauren and Sam for sure, for also making that list. And I'm just stoked because I definitely can see in the future more of our women's national team and hopefully men's national team making those lists moving forward. But yeah, Allie, thank you for coming and chatting with me about beach soccer. I appreciate your time, and yeah, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Woo-hoo!